Now, so far we've discovered in our series that God is a God of divine order. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, it tells us, God is not the author of confusion or disorder, but rather God is the author of peace and of order. So, God is not the author of confusion. Wherever you find confusion, wherever you find disorder, you can be sure that somehow things are out of order. You see, God does nothing helter-skelter. The 6 days of creation, as we looked at them 2 weeks ago, are in perfect logical sequence. The atom, which is the basic building block of everything known in this universe, is an amazing organized little structure. Though the atom is so small that optical magnification is not possible, when observed through the aid of an electron microscope, the atom displays the marvel of God's handiwork, and you'll find it is in perfect order. You see, it is God's divine order that keeps Adam from colliding with atoms, ultimately destroying what we know to be life in this universe. So God then is a God of order. Week one, we talked about God's divine order for the family. And we said that the head of every single family and the head of all things ought to be Christ. And then we noticed the role and the responsibility of the husband and of the father is to be under the headship of Jesus Christ and to be the head over his home. And that we've discovered that if a man is not living in his submission to Christ, he is going to breed rebellion from his wife and from his children. God has a divine order. And so the divine order is Christ, the head of all things, the head of the home, the head of the family, and then it's the husband-father. The husband-father role is to love his wife. And to love his wife, the Bible says, as much as Christ loves the church, to the point that he is willing to die for the church. So, husbands, we're to love our wives. And in such a life relationship where the husband is submitting to Christ, loving his wife, being that godly cover for that home and family, she will find it a safe environment to submit to her husband. And the children will find in such an environment, there's order. The order starts at the top. It is Christ over the family. The father, the husband, in submission to Christ. The wife, the mother, in submission to her husband, in role and responsibility, and children obeying their parents. And the Bible says, in such a family, in such a life, there will be peace, there will be joy, and there will be longevity. The Bible says to children, if you will obey your parents, you will live long, fulfilled lives. Last week, we talked about God's order for finances. And again, we've discovered God has a divine order. Again, God is at the top. And we find beneath that, Pastor John told us one of the things that we ought to do is make sure that we bring the tithe to the Lord. And again, as was mentioned earlier today, we do not pay our tithe, we bring our tithe. We bring the tithe which belongs to the Lord. And in so doing, he blesses the remainder. And we discovered that savings is an important thing. Saving for the rainy day, saving for those unexpected things that come up, but I believe also saving for some fun, that you might have a vacation, that you might enjoy the labor of your own hands. Far too many people, as we discovered last week, they live hand to mouth. They're always short. They're always spent to the far extreme. Their debt is overwhelming, their living expenses, and therefore they have no money literally for themselves. God's plan is you bring the tenth, give it to God. You save some not only for the rainy day, but you might have some enjoyment from the labor of your own hands, because I promise you, if you don't, the banker will. The credit card company will. Someone will enjoy the labor of your hands. And God's design is that you might enjoy the labor of your own hands. So God has divine order. God, savings, debt, living expenses. So God's divine order, then like the Adam, cannot be messed with. If you mess with it, something eventually blows up. Now moving on this morning in our series, we're going to investigate God's order for faith. Friends, faith is one of the most important subjects found in the entire Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it gives a trilogy. At the end of chapter 13, it says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." However, you'll find in that trilogy this word faith. And faith is a vital subject in the Word of Almighty God. It's a vital subject for all of us today. Now, I want you to listen to what the Bible has to say about this subject of faith this morning. And we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1. And I want you to see what God's Word says about our subject today, having order in our faith. Here's what it says. "Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So the Bible says faith then is being sure for what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. He goes on to say, "By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith," there's the word again, "Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who did what? He pleased God. And without faith, it is what?" Say it, church. Without faith, it is impossible to please whom? God. Because anyone who comes to him must what? Believe that he what? Exists. And that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Abraham has been called the father of the faith. He was raised in what is called Ur of the Chaldees. He was raised in a pagan family. He was surrounded by paganism and by idolatry and idol worship. This man believed God. He was the first to believe that Jehovah God, this God that created the heavens and the earth, had a plan for mankind. And so the Bible says he was called the father of the faith. Now listen to what it says in James chapter 2 about Abraham. This is exciting. In James chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Abraham," fill in the blank, "believed who?" Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him. It was added to his account. It is an accounting term here in the original language. So it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, right being, right standing, and he was called God's what? God's friend. Now, I don't know about you, but I want one day to be introduced to the angels of heaven as being a friend of God. Now, this is not something that Abraham went around declaring of himself. This was not a bumper sticker that he put on the back of his camel saying, "Friend of God." But rather, it was God that said, "Abraham, you're my friend." I have a lot of windbags running around today saying they're a friend of God. I think it's much better when God says, "No, you are my friend." I think at times people run around saying, God's my friend and I'm a friend of God. And God would say, "Who are you anyway?" It'd be like somebody coming up to you unknown on the street, giving you a great big old bear hug in the middle of the street, saying, "You're my friend, friend for life, we're buds for life." And you look at him like, "Who in the world are you?" It wasn't Abraham making the statement. You see, he believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. He lived by faith. And the Bible says, and God declared, "Abraham is my friend." Now, my prayer for each and every one of you is one day you are going to be called out by God himself as being a friend. That you are his and he belongs to you. And the relationship is one of friendship. Now, faith is mentioned some 505 times throughout the Bible, proving its vital importance. All of us here this morning, we all have faith. There's not one individual that's ever walked the face of this earth that was born without faith. God gives us, the Bible says, a measure of faith that has been hardwired within each and every one of us. And whether we know it or not, knowingly or unknowingly, we all use that measure of faith every single day. We have faith that the sun will rise in the morning. You have no guarantee other than your faith. But you have faith that somehow God, which is in control of all things and has always been and always will be in control, that God will cause the sun to rise tomorrow in the east and set in the west. When you go to bed at night, you set your alarm. And the reason why you set your alarm, you have faith that you will live through the night, that your heart will beat and your lungs will breathe, and that you will awaken to a new day. You have faith that your car will start. You have faith that your children will be safe as they go about their day. You have faith that your job will still be there when you go in tomorrow morning. Maybe some of you have faith that it won't be. And you've been praying the best. But I want you to understand, you operate in faith. When you get on an airplane, you're hoping that all those little thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of little parts, whether it's in that Rolls-Royce engine or whether it's a GE engine, whether it's in the fuselage, who is in the cockpit, all of this, we have faith, and we put our faith to action every day. As Christians, then, our faith is not merely mind over matter. The Bible tells us that it is a gift from God. Faith isn't something we just conjure up on our own, but rather, it is a gift from God. He gives us this measure of faith, and this measure of faith will grow lifelong as long as we put this in the proper order, which we'll do in a moment. Now, the Greek word that is used for faith is pistis, which is spelled P-I-S-T-I-S. But the E-I is, pronounced as an E, so it's pistis, which means a persuasion. Faith means to be persuaded, to be absolutely certain. You know that you know that you know. Even though there's not other empirical proofs that are out there, there's certain things in life, you're persuaded of them. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, when he says, "I know whom I have believed." He said, I'm not just shooting in the dark. My faith is not just directed helter-skelter. My faith is in the one that created the heavens and the earth. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. There's that word there. He is saying, I am absolutely convinced. No one can rob it away from me, this fact. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he, that is God, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, that is my life, my soul, my children, my finances, my everything in life, I've committed unto him. You see, faith for the child of God is a divine persuasion. Now, faith is distinct from human confidence. We're not talking about somebody that just got a lot of self-confidence. However, faith does deeply affect our confidence and our ability to face daily life. Now, this morning, we have four boxes once again representing four different phases or parts of faith. Let's look at them for a moment. We have over here, we've got feelings. We also have as a component of life, facts. And then we've got the component of faith, and we have God. Now let's begin to put all of this together. Let's find God's divine order for faith. And remember, the Bible says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. So I would say then, based upon that, faith must be vital to my soul, vital to my life. Matter of fact, if it was not for faith, all of us would just cower in our beds, hoping that somehow the roof wouldn't fall in on us and that we would not die in our bed. We would just kind of cower away. We'd be fearful about all of life. But faith is what allows us to get up in the morning and say, this is going to be a great day. God is for me, and if God is for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is within me than he that's within the world. Faith rises up in the morning, and the faith says, it may be scary out there, but the greater one is with me, in me, for me, and I'm going to prevail because I'm persuaded that God is God. So we're going to start then where we should start, like we do in all. We start with God. We start with Christ. We said that Christ is submissive to God. So God in the family, God in finances, God in faith. You see, divine order always starts with God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it simply says, in the beginning, what's the next word? God. So that is the way we start. That's the way for the family. That's the way for finances. That's the way for a nation, we'll discover next week as well. And so it all starts with God. God is the first. He's the foundation. He is the all. He's the head over all. So when the family has Christ, finances have Christ, nation has Christ, our faith must be built on God first and foremost. In the beginning, it is God. Anytime God is not number one, you can be assured somewhere, sometime, somehow, chaos is going to break forth. Whether it's in your marriage or in your family, your finances, a nation, including one's faith. So the Bible says then that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. In Mark chapter 11, there's a rather interesting conversation going on. Jesus had walked by a fig tree that had no figs, no hope of fig on the tree. So it was just an old dead stick is all it was out there just taking up land. And he cursed it. He said, you'll never produce anything again. And they came by in the morning, all the leaves had dropped. And the disciples, they were all wondering how in the world did that happen. And he says this, he says, believe God. Matter of fact, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, he says, have Jesus, this is the command of Jesus, if you want power for daily living, believe God. So Abraham, he believes God, has accounted him for righteousness, he's called a friend of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, his closest followers, he says with absolute assurance, have faith in God. Remember now, faith comes from God. And faith must be redirected to God. I promise you, anyone else or anything else you put in the place of God, it will fail. God alone does not fail. So we have God. That is the God is going to be the top of all things, the head of all things. He is going to be the basis of all of our faith. So what should we put up here next? Help me know. What do you want to put next? God is going to be on the top. What's going to be directly under God? Faith. You want to put faith next, huh? No. Let's put, for the moment, we'll switch things around. We'll put faith there in just a moment. Remember, as we talked about a week ago, anytime you take these boxes, anytime you take God's order and realign them, there is predictable outcomes. We said the predictable outcome is if you put children on the top, you've got the monkeys running the zoo, right? If you take and put living expenses debt over God, you're going to always be living in debt. So you can mess with it all you want. But just for conversation's sake here, let's take and let's put faith. We're going to leave over here for a second. We're going to talk about facts. So where do we find facts as it relates to God? Friends, the Bible is God's revelation of himself to mankind. And I declare to you today, it is the only reliable source on God. There's a lot of revisions that are going about today. Books are written, and when, you know, in a year or two, they kind of rewrite them a little bit, tweak them a little bit so they fit the culture, the reading, and the time. Matter of fact, how many have ever read Old English? You read some of the old stories of the Old English, and it's almost like it's a foreign language. And so they update it so that we can take and read it because it needs to stay in context with the culture of the time. Friends, I'm so glad to know there is one book that describes our God, gives us the facts about God, and this book is never to be revised. It is perfect the way it is. And so what are these facts? Now the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Say it. By the word of God. So if our faith is in God, we need to know, before we release our faith, we need to know who this God is. And once again, God gave us a wonderful revelation of himself. So what are some of the facts that we can build our faith upon? First of all, we can build our faith upon the fact that God is eternal. We can build our faith on the fact that he is infinite. He is the Alpha and the Omega. We can build our faith upon the fact that God is self-existent. He has always been, he will always be, he will always be on the throne. We need not worry about that. He is eternal, infinite, he is self-existent. He is, yes, he is self-sufficient. He is omnipresent, meaning present everywhere. He is omnipotent, possessing all power. He is omniscient, he knows about your sleepless nights. He knows what concerns are in your heart this very moment. And not only does he know what's happening and transpiring in your life and in the lives of all of us in this sanctuary, but he knows everyone in this entire world. God knows. His knowledge goes beyond. There is nothing hidden from him. He is absolutely omnipresent. He's omnipotent, having all power. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He is unchanging. He's immutable. I'm so glad that in a world of so much change, we don't have to worry who is going to be on the throne tomorrow. Satan is never going to take over. God is the sovereign. God is the final word over all things. Yes, God is God. God is wise. God makes no mistakes. God is holy. God is light. There is no darkness in him. God is righteous and God is just. He does right. He lives right. He is right. He is the basis of right. God is faithful. God is truthful. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is love. God is good. God, we have the facts about God, and facts are all found in the Word. And these are but just a few of the facts we know about God. So if you are going to place faith in God, you need to know the facts. You need to know. It was Paul that said, I know in whom I have believed. I know. What he's saying is, I know the facts. I'm not made a blind decision. I've not made a foolish decision. My mind has been filled with the facts of who God is, and as a result of it, I have chosen to put my faith in God, knowing the facts. I know in whom I have believed. You see, facts, they fuel our faith. And the more you feed your soul and your heart and your mind the facts of the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. The more you put the facts together with God, the greater your faith will be. Next, for our sake this morning, let's put faith. So now we know God is above all things, and we know the facts about God. Now that we know who God is, and now that we know the facts about God, it is easy to put faith in Him. You know, people talk about blind faith. Friends, I want you to know my faith is not blind. Paul's faith was not blind. Abraham's faith was not blind. It is knowing the facts and then choosing volitionally to be persuaded that these facts are not just a bunch of hodgepodge facts about some God that once existed in mythology, but it's the God that created the heavens and the earth. We know in the beginning it was God. We know that it was God that walked with Abraham and said, by faith, you are my friend. And we place our faith and the facts about God. So in some ways, God and facts are kind of together as one unit. And then we can safely place our faith in the one that we know through fact. So sound faith, lasting faith, is a persuasion based upon the fact that God is who He said He was and is, and that God can do what He claims He can do. We put it all together then with faith. But there's another component yet. The component of feelings. I don't know about you, but we hear about touchy-feely. We're going to talk about where does this fit in? And has it any part at all in faith? Or is it something that we should just kind of pitch to the side? Where does it fit? I'll show you where it fits. And we'll put it other locations. We'll see if it fits there as well. So now we've got feelings on the bottom. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Here we go. When I was a kid, I loved to play with blocks. That's why I'm playing with them this morning. So now we've got feelings. You know what I've discovered about feelings? I'm sure you have as well. Feelings are fickle. Now, I didn't say pickle. Sometimes the fickle get us a pickle. But I want you to know, feelings, they're fickle, which means they change. In any 24-hour period of time, most of us can experience great joy. In that same 24-hour period of time, we can go from great joy. All it takes is a phone call. And suddenly we go into deep sorrow. And from deep sorrow, we can climb that mountain until we're on the mountain of moving faith. And then from there, even as Elijah, after his battle with, you know, the prophets of Baal, great, mighty display of God's power on the mountain. But then he goes into the valley of despair. In that same 24 hours, then, it can be great joy, sorrow, mountain-moving faith into the despair of your life. You can have great moments of love followed up by moments of anger. You can be convinced that God can do anything. 15 minutes later, you're not sure that God even likes you, or that you're pleasing God, and that God, not only is it questionable whether or not God can do anything, I doubt He'll do anything for me. So feelings They're all over the road. They're fickle. Now, friends, I'm grateful that God has created us with a fantastic set of emotions. It makes life exciting. Think of what life would be like if you took away all emotion. It would be like machines. But that is what makes us unique. We are living beings that are filled with emotions. We have a whole host of feelings. So I'm grateful that God created us with feelings and emotions. It makes life exciting. However, I'm so glad to know that our faith is not based on feelings. Now let's take this and let's put it in a different order. Pastor Tom, will you help me once again? He's my official block player. We play together with these blocks. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to take and we're going to move faith now. Remember, we talked about faith. Let's take faith. We're going to put that. It's going to be on the top. We're going to put faith up there on the top, followed by feelings. Faith, feelings. Let's do one more. Pull out the green one. There we go. Here we go. Put it under there. Laurel and Hardy's moving service at your pleasure. Okay, so here we've got another scenario now. What we've done, remember, God has a divine order. And what we're going to do is we're going to see, can we mess with that order? And if we mess with the order, what is going to be the outcome? Now, I hear people say all the time, I mean, I've got faith. I ride in airplanes. I drive over bridges. I believe my car will start. I believe in myself. I believe that I can do it. I believe that I'm intelligent. I believe that I believe. And they will tell you that they're people of great faith. However, if you have taken your faith and put your faith on the top, especially when it's built on feelings, and there's facts way down below that, and you've kind of relegated God to a back seat, really not an important part of your faith process, here's what will happen. Such an individual will believe anything. They're the ones that fall for every new little bit of theology that's out there today. And I'll tell you, friends, whatever you want to believe, it's there. And they have faith, but their faith is not directed. It's directed, if anything, it's by feelings. And because of that, they become a sucker for anything. The Bible says of such an individual that relegates God to way down here, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so he lives his life as though God is a non-existent, non-important part of life. But they will say very quickly, I've got faith. And you see such individuals, they live the life of a fool. They'll fall for anything because they do not know the facts and their life is not grounded in God or under his covering. Now let's put it in a different order again. This time, we're going to take and put God up on the top. Now, I'm not sure what we're going to put in between, so let me look at my notes. Let's move feeling up. Here we go. See how complex this is? So here we've got someone then says, God is important to them, but they live their life by feelings. Faith is certainly there, but facts, they do not know what they believe, why they believe it, they're not sure. They know that they love God. Churches are filled with such individuals. Individuals that they've never been serious about getting to know the facts. And in getting to know the facts, there's only one place to know the facts, that's right here. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. You go through the scriptures, and the scriptures will tell you time and time again that a life that leaves the facts out, even though you love God, care about God, here's what you'll be. You'll be a yo-yo Christian. One day you're up, next day you're down. Why? Because your relationship with God is based on feelings. And some days, come on, some days I don't even feel like a human. Some days you just don't feel saved. Some days you don't feel like you amount to anything. There's the roller coaster. You see him one day and glory to God, you know, and they're on the mountaintop. And then a little later on, you say, well, where in the world are they at? They have no roots. They're blown around by every wind of doctrine. Oh, but they say they love God, and I'm sure they do, but their faith is not going to stand because it's not based on facts, it's based on feelings. If you take and put feelings at the top, we'll just go ahead and we'll just slide feelings out. Thank you, Pastor Tom. Now we've got a life that is driven by feelings. And again, God has been relegated down in faith. Every time you mess with God's divine order, there is a predictable problem of chaos that will arise every single time. You can take these and put them in any combination you want. The same is true with the stack over here with the family or over here with finances. Go ahead. Mess with the order all you want, but when it's all said and done, you will not find fulfillment until God is number one. So let's take and get this thing back in proper order. We'll put God on top here. And feelings, thank God we have feelings. I love to feel. And when you stop feeling, you're probably dead. So I've come to enjoy feeling. And some days, you feel better than others. Feelings are fine. But if feelings is your connection to God, you're in trouble. If you have faith, and you elevate faith and put it up here above facts, you're not sure what you believe or why you believe it. You're just kind of bouncing around from thing to thing. God is number one. Jesus said, believe in God. Abraham believed in God. It was accounted for righteousness, became the friend of God. The facts, we find them in the Word of God. I gave you, I believe, 19 or 20 facts of God. Do you realize, friends, if we were to go through all the facts of God, it would take eternity? And that's why we get to spend eternity with the one we choose. And we get to spend eternity and have every day a fresh revelation of the newness and the greatness of our God. Not that God changes, but we comprehend more. And so God, facts, our faith is based on solid fact. And our feelings, they follow. And feelings are fine, but they cannot drive the train. They must be the caboose. The Bible tells us, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We want to build our faith, so we build our knowledge of God, so we get to know the facts. I'm so grateful that we serve a God that has given to us faith. And he's given to you faith because faith, it applies to every single category of life. Faith determines what happens when you walk into a hospital room. Faith is what happens when you get behind the vehicle of a car. Faith is what drives every component, whether it's family or finances, or whether it's our faith. It's all driven by faith. Next week, we're going to look at a nation. What is God's divine order for a nation? God, again, has a very clear and defined four-set pattern for the nations of the world. And when you mess it up, there's always chaos. I'm so glad that we can live under God's protective hand. So glad He's given us faith. I find people that they wish they had faith, but they have faith. They've redirected it in the wrong place. Today, if you're here and your faith is kind of out of order, I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to help get that back in proper perspective.